listening to the Daily Daily Caller podcast on iTunes and thedailycaller.com. Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Daily Daily Caller podcast, Monday edition. Today's the 14th day of May. Happy Monday to you, or as happy as a Monday can be. Don't worry, it's only 4 days until Friday. So, kind of a slow news week, but or news weekend, but there were some developments. Certainly this morning, if you watched cable television, you watched cable news, you saw the big story. The U.S. Embassy in Israel is now officially in Jerusalem. It's been the law of the land that this is what it's supposed to be since the mid-90s. That means that Bill Clinton never did this, George W. Bush never did this, Barack Obama certainly never did this, but Donald Trump did this. And this is one of the things that Donald Trump, one of the campaign promises Donald Trump made, and lo and behold, Donald Trump kept it. And by the way, it's a campaign promise that all those other guys I listed also made, but they didn't keep it for some weird reason. It's almost as if they were just simply providing lip service to the concept and then had no intention of doing anything about it. Well, Donald Trump did it today. And to celebrate, there was a big ceremony. The president himself wasn't there, but Jared Kushner spoke. Ivanka went over there. Steve Mnuchin was there. A whole bunch of members of Congress, senators, and congressmen were over there in Jerusalem today for the big dedication ceremony. And one thing was missing. One weird thing was missing. Did you spot it if you noticed the coverage? There wasn't a single Democrat over there. Not a one. No congressmen, no senators. Chuck Schumer has been a champion of this from the beginning, and Chuck Schumer couldn't be bothered to go on the congressional trip over to the dedication ceremony for the new U.S. Embassy in Israel. Why would they not go? Why would Chuck Schumer not go? Chuck Schumer and all the other Democrats didn't go because this is seen as a good thing for Donald Trump. And they will not allow themselves to be associated with anything remotely good with Donald Trump. He kept his campaign promise. And as a reminder, as a contrast, it serves as a reminder that Barack Obama didn't keep his campaign promise. Bill Clinton didn't keep his campaign promise. They don't really care that George W. Bush didn't keep his campaign promise. He's not a Democrat. But this is incredibly, incredibly biased. There is this is what's wrong in Washington. Something universally good, something that many of these Democrats have advocated since the 1990s, happens, and they refuse to go. We're otherwise engaged. They refuse to go because Donald Trump did it. Donald Trump is the one who finally did it. If something good comes out of North Korea and these talks with North Korea, they are going to find a way to complain about it. They're going to find a way to whine about it. When the president got those four or three Americans released from the North Korean prisons where they'd spent more than a year, Democrats tried to credit the South Korean president. That's how bitter and angry that these Democrats are. It's disturbing. You expect this from children. You don't expect this from very wealthy, very successful adults who are supposed to be representing their constituents. Even if your constituents hate Donald Trump, getting three Americans released from a North Korean gulag is a pretty damn good thing. Even if your constituents hate Donald Trump, fulfilling a campaign promise that you yourself has said you supported, and in many cases these people were in Congress at the time and voted for, and it's come up several times for a vote for renewal since then, and they've voted for it. Something you voted for coming to fruition is supposed to be a good thing, or else why did you vote for it? Did you vote for it for a cynical political gain for yourself? Would a Democrat or a Republican or any member of Congress really do that? Yes. Yes, they would. They absolutely, positively would. But to sit at home, sit on your hands, take your ball and go home and whine and complain and go, I am not going because Donald Trump did this. Sitting there and saying, this is dangerous behind the scenes. This is dangerous. This could cause tensions to rise. And there are a whole bunch of, they call them protests in the media, but there's their riots, their attempted invasions at the border of Israel and Gaza and the West Bank, and people are being killed. More than 40 people have been killed so far because the terrorist organizations that run the Palestinian government are sending waves of human beings with flaming tires towards the border with Israel. And Israel is saying, you're not coming through. They know full well what's going to happen, and it's happening. So this gives the Palestinians, they think, a PR advantage. But I think that it seems to me that the rest of the world is really getting sick of hearing about this crap. You had everything you wanted, 95% of what you wanted, offered to Yasser Arafat in the late 90s. And Yasser Arafat passed. Yasser Arafat passed, not because 95% of what you want isn't good enough, but because once you get 95% of what you want, once you have your own independent country and you're responsible for yourself, then suddenly you lose your scapegoat. The scapegoat for the Palestinians is Israel, is the United States to a lesser degree, but it is Israel. So every woe in Gaza and the West Bank can be blamed on Israel. Well, it's the Israelis' fault. It's not the corrupt government. It's not the fact that Yasser Arafat died with billions of dollars in a bank account in Switzerland with his name on it, and that money was not used to the benefit of his people. No, it has nothing to do with the corrupt graft and ridiculous policies and high lifestyles that the leadership runs. It has to do with Israel. Well, once you are independent, who do you blame your stuff on? Then suddenly you got to go, oh, crap. We lost our scapegoat, and they can't afford to lose their scapegoat. Not unless they get something a hell of a lot more than only 95% of what they want. Well, 95% of what you want is more than you're entitled to. So they send wave after wave of people who are not educated. They're indoctrinated. See, this level of indoctrination hasn't yet reached the United States, but it's on its way. But they're indoctrinated to believe that Israel is the root of all the problems in their lives. And so they'll send wave after wave of people with little to no education against a wall with a flaming tire, throwing rocks, threatening soldiers, and getting shot. Why? The Palestinian Authority knows that nothing is going to change from this legally, but they get a PR victory, and that's all they really care about. To the left, and make no mistake, the Palestinian Authority is of the left. Human beings, individuals, are expendable. They're disposable. They're irrelevant. And they're willing to sacrifice 40-plus, 50-plus, 100-plus. It doesn't matter how many people. They're just, well, they're now martyrs. You ever wonder why somebody recruiting somebody else to kill themselves, to martyr themselves for the cause, doesn't ever look at the person recruiting them and saying, you know, if this is the key to paradise, if this is the shortcut to paradise, why are you still alive? Why haven't you done this? If this is the surefire way to get to paradise, why aren't you strapping a bomb to yourself? Because they don't ask that question because they're that indoctrinated. And we also don't have unity against them. Instead of standing against the radical, violent Palestinian leadership, Democrats decided to stay home today and stand against the President of the United States fulfilling a campaign promise, a promise that most of them voted for. This is part of what's wrong in this country today with our politics. It's not that Donald Trump wasn't inviting them. Donald Trump didn't say, you can't go. It's that they said, we're not going because it's Donald Trump, and we're going to remain silent about it or badmouth it. Speaking of badmouthing it, we got some audio that you just have to hear to believe. You know who Tom Steyer is? He's one of these liberal billionaires. There sure seem to be a lot of liberal billionaires who bitch and moan about income inequality. Maybe the liberals should look at their bench of billionaires and say, hey, wait a second, we can make a pretty big dent in income inequality if you guys live by example. They never want to live by example. They never want to live the way they want to force everybody else to live unless and until they can force everybody else to live that way. It's kind of weird how that works. Well, Tom Steyer, billionaire, he owns a mansion and a yacht. He's doing these town halls around the country to try and rile up Democrats to vote against Republicans because he has control over Democrats. He's really spending his money to empower himself under the guise of doing good. But weirdly, if he gets his way, he'll get richer. But nobody wants to talk about that. Well, at a town hall over the or at the end of last week, he had a woman come up and basically say that Trump is Hitler. She doesn't see the difference between Trump and Hitler. She just can't figure it out, scratching her head. And she must have gone to public schools. Now, Tom Steyer is a monster, I would say, but he's not an idiot. He knows history. But he also knows that correcting people who you're trying to manipulate would not exactly help your cause. Now, if you think about it, there's one of history's greatest monsters who used to manipulate people with false information and allow rumors to spread because it was to his benefit. Who was that person? I can't figure it out. Maybe you can in the course of this segment. But she comes up and she asks, you know, I can't even do it justice. It's so damn stupid. Let's listen to this question.
Sally, and I'm from Dubuque.
Okay.
Dubuque, I'm back. And it's going to be a comment that maybe, but through all of this and through the time that he's been president, he reminds me of Hitler. I just keep thinking, what's the difference between him and Hitler? Because...
What's the difference between Donald Trump and Hitler? Gee, they seem to have very similar backgrounds, and everything they do and say is exactly the same. What is the difference? I see no difference between Trump and Hitler. Now, a normal human being with more than two brain cells to rub together would point out the obvious difference immediately, not wait, not try and play to their advantage, not try and find a way to go, well, you know, that's why you got to vote come November, because this guy is putting together the Gestapo and they're ready to come out and get you. But Tom Steyer doesn't do that. This woman, she continues, but I mean, just to sit there and you can hear the crowd. What kind of people is Tom Steyer attracting? When someone says, I see Trump and I think Hitler, and I don't know what the difference is between the two, and they're like, oh, yeah, she's got a good point. That's an excellent point. Why, they're identical twins in their policies and their personalities. It's the exact same thing. And the guy paying for this is quiet. He's like, well, okay, let her keep talking. She does. She keeps talking.
Well, Hitler really strikes me. And I think, and then you just mentioned what he's doing to families at the border. That's what Hitler did. Tore families apart.
That's what Hitler did. Oh, Hitler enforced the law and enforced the border and stopped illegal aliens from raiding the country, from invading the country? No, that's not exactly what Hitler did. But this lady's ignorance is staggering. Is staggering. And the people in the room's ignorance is staggering. Like, yeah, well, you know, tore families apart. Yeah, he tore families apart. He murdered families. That tends to tear families apart. But to sit there and remain silent. Now, if a conservative had done this, if one of the Koch brothers were at an event and somebody said, well, geez, let me tell you, that Barack Obama sure reminds me a lot of Pol Pot or Stalin or Hitler. And they just remain silent rather than immediately rushing off the stage to tackle that person, all hell would have broken loose. It would have led the nightly news. Brian Williams would have claimed to have been there. The Koch brothers today accused Barack Obama of being Hitler. But Tom Steyer is on the right side of not history, but the media, which means the left side. And so they let it slide for her to sit there. I don't see any. He's tearing families apart. No, technically, those families are tearing themselves apart by breaking our law. It's not a surprise. It's not a secret. We don't, you know, not tell anybody what the law is until after they get into the country. They know full well what they're facing. And by the way, they're just being held separately. They're not being thrust apart, one being trebucheted into the Gulf of Mexico and the other being sent to Canada, never to see each other again. But that's what the left would have you believe. But, okay, so you hear this lady, Trump is Hitler. I don't see any difference whatsoever. Why, they're the same thing. What does Tom Steyer say? Let's listen.
Mr. Trump he really is an incredibly skillful and talented communicator. He really is. Which, Hitler was too. But let's not, and I think the reason people push back against the Hitler comparison, regardless of any similarities, is Hitler ended up killing millions and millions of people.
Now you got to love that. Very similar. They're both able to communicate with people. There are lots of people who are, you know, Barack Obama could read off a teleprompter a hell of a speech. Does that make him Hitlerific? Is he Hitler-esque then? If you had mentioned that, if you had suggested that, all hell would have broken loose. I believe that the SWAT team would have broken into your home if you had said anything remotely close to that during the Obama years. But Tom Steyer's out there going, hey, well, they're both very good at manipulating people, very good at giving speeches. The only difference, if I were to put together a comprehensive list of the differences between Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler, I suppose it'd be a tough list to compile, but I would suspect that included in that list would be the fact that maybe, just maybe, Hitler killed a ton of people and Donald Trump hasn't killed anybody. You know, if I'm just spitballing here, I mean, this is the level of discourse of the left. This is the hero. This is the funder of the left. This and George Soros, who actually collaborated with the Nazis, those are the people of the left. These are the banks on the left. And he just sits there and casually kind of, he doesn't say, you know what, you don't make comparisons to Hitler. You know, that Donald Trump is a lot of things. We clearly don't like him, but he is not Hitler. And to make that comparison, you just don't go there. That is inappropriate. It's, I'm sorry, but you just don't do that. That's what a normal human being would do, should do. But Tom Steyer ain't a normal human being. He's emotionally invested as well as monetarily invested in the destruction of all Republicans. And right now, Donald Trump is the head of the Republican Party, and he wants to destroy him. He doesn't care the method by which he does it. He just wants it done. So he can sit there and say, well, you know, they're very similar. They're both able to give a speech and convince people, and, you know, but there's this, just one little difference just hanging out there. It's kind of the difference that makes Hitler Hitler, that Hitler killed a lot of people. And I love the way he kind of glosses over a lot of people. 6 million Jews. Yeah, he killed a lot of Jews. Now, you say that, that's going to cause problems for you if you're not a progressive, if you're not attacking Trump. But it's Tom Steyer, yeah, he killed a lot of people. He killed 5 million other people, gays, gypsies, whatever you got, artists, whatever you got. He killed a lot of people, not to mention all the millions and tens of millions of people during the war itself and the civilians bombed, and they can't even get an accurate count because there was so much killing. But, you know, yeah, that's a difference. There's plus, you know, Trump was blonde and Hitler was more of a brunette. So there's some differences between the two. You shouldn't just go around saying that Donald Trump is like Hitler because you're smearing both blondes and brunettes. You've got to be very specific. This is the modern left. But Tommy was not done. Tommy continued.
And Mr. Trump has shown a disregard for our law. He breaks the law. He has shown a disrespect for the idea of law. And in many ways, he has done things that we find, or I find, abhorrent. But he hasn't killed millions of people.
You know, Donald Trump, he jaywalks. He does, and he turns right on red when there's clearly a no turn on red sign sitting at an intersection. Donald Trump just does it. But he hasn't killed a lot of people. He's trying to compare Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler as much as he possibly can. As well, you know, he disregard for the law. He breaks the law. What law has he broken? Where has he broken the law, Tom Steyer? Where is this? Why is nobody aware of this except for you? And then why are you keeping it secret and only telling people who live near Dubuque or wherever this lady was from? This is insanity. This would be a major, major story if it were a Republican speaking about Barack Obama or, hell, even Bill or Hillary Clinton. But because they're talking about Donald Trump, this won't rate a mention. Trump is Hitler. All he is just a little genocide away from being 100% Hitler. But he's, you know, 97.3% Hitler right now. The only difference is he breaks the law. He's out there. He's doing this. The only difference is he hasn't killed a lot of people yet. Yet. Now, the yet I added, but I added it because Tom Steyer essentially adds it.
And so I agree. Look, That's why we want to impeach him. We'd like to end it here while it's still okay.
That's why we want to impeach him. We got to stop him before he fully emerges from his Hitler cocoon and spreads his I am Hitler butterfly wings and then starts killing a lot of people. This is insanity. This is no rational human being believes in this crap. No educated human being would buy this crap. But liberals have not been educated. They have been indoctrinated. They have been brainwashed into believing that this is happening right now. We are Germany 1933, and we must do something about this. This is the kind of rhetoric when Democrats talk about, oh, the nasty rhetoric, the violent rhetoric. They're wanting to talk about repealing Obamacare, and that's going to harm people. And their rhetoric is really mean and nasty. It's liberals' rhetoric who've gotten people killed. It's liberals' rhetoric who've gotten people shot. And it's this kind of rhetoric that seems to be designed to make that happen. You don't sit around and call somebody Hitler in the hopes that everybody just goes, yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to go back home and have some tea. Hitler is history's greatest monster. To sit there and call something, you are Hitler, this guy is becoming Hitler, and we have to stop him before he becomes full-blown Hitler and starts killing a bunch of people. What do you think that does to the mentally unstable? What do you think that does to the unstable mind? Do you think it might plant a seed or two? Of course it does. And they know that it does. And I think in many cases, the Tom Steyers of the world might be counting on that it does. They want somebody. They weren't able to defeat Donald Trump at the ballot box. So they're desperately looking for a way out. They don't have the guts to do it themselves or to say that's what they want to do, but they sure seem to be trying to inspire somebody to do something rash. One last little cut from Tommy Steyer.
But that is until, I think that's why people push back so hard, because that is a very big difference. We haven't gotten to that point. God bless us. Let's hope we never get anywhere near that point.
I think that's why people push back to the against the point that Trump is Hitler. The massive piles of millions of dead bodies. Yeah, that's a pretty big difference there between a guy who just is enacting policies and advocating for policies you don't like and another guy who is sweeping up people off the street and murdering them in mass. Yeah, you think that's a subtle difference there, Tom? But I swear, what I think they're hoping for, because they know they're never going to get the president impeached and removed from office. He's not going to be convicted. They're hoping that somebody else does their dirty work for them because they are progressives first and they don't give a damn. They will not let anything stand in their way. If they lose at the ballot box, which they often do, they immediately run to the court system and sue. It's kind of bizarre the way that these people always chant, this is what democracy looks like, this is what democracy looks like. When they lose in democracy, they immediately go to the courts, which is the antithesis of democracy. Whether it's gay marriage in California, like, well, we're gonna vote. Oh, wait, this passed? Well, now we have to sue. Well, you just took the temperature of the people. You just asked the people what they wanted, democracy, and you lost. Now you're going to sue. They do this on every issue. Every time they lose, they run to the court and say, no, you can't allow this to happen. And there's always a liberal judge all too happy to say, nope, this can't happen. We must stop it for the good of everything. It's unconstitutional. Now we have idiot liberal judges right now saying that Barack Obama's executive orders can't be undone with other executive orders without you proving to us why you need to undo them. That's not at all how the Constitution works. That's not at all how executive authority works. But liberals don't give a damn. There was somebody else who didn't give a damn. Killed millions of people. Who was it? Steamrolled his way to power over any objections and did not let the facts stand in the way of his ascension to power. Who was that guy? I can't remember his name. Speaking of the fascism that Tom Steyer would like to implement in this country, there was a disturbing story at the end of last week that didn't get enough attention because government telling you how to live your life and how to raise your kids and how just to be in everyday existence has become so accepted by so many, particularly in the media. This story out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Virginia Beach police have cited a person for smoking inside a car with a minor present. No, they weren't picking up somebody from the coal mines of West Virginia. This is an underage child. This became the law a couple years ago. I think it's finally been implemented. 2016, it passed, and it's just now being implemented. But this is what the world has become. It's a $100 fine for smoking in a car with a kid also in the car. Now, you are an adult. Whether you choose to smoke or not is up to you. They've already restricted just about everything possible they can restrict from you if you're a smoker. You have to go outside the building you're in, down the block, steal yourself in a piece of Tupperware or a Ziploc bag, sign a consent form for every cigarette you want to have that's not in the privacy of your own home or what used to be the privacy of your own car. Now they're coming after the privacy of your own car because the left will never, ever, ever leave you alone. There is never enough. Now, here's the thing. Democrats have controlled government on and off for a good portion of the last century. If they thought, especially during the Obama years, 2009 to 2011, they had a supermajority in the United States Senate. If they thought that smoking was so terrible, they could have banned it. They didn't. Moreover, if they thought that smoking was so terrible, they could have at least stopped subsidizing the growth of tobacco. They didn't. They just want, you notice, the one thing that government is efficient at, particularly state and local governments, really the only thing they're efficient at, you go to a DMV, forget it. They can't handle anything. Basic paperwork takes forever. But what they excel at is things that cost you money. They cost us money. Your parking meter is expired for 30 seconds and you get back to your car, there's a ticket sitting on the windshield. They are exceedingly good at things that cost us money. They can dip their hands into our pockets like a pickpocket, and we just accept it. And now, this isn't going to get much sympathy because, well, smoking's bad for you, and there's a children. Children were in there, and children must be protected, and I believe that children are our future. You crack a window in a car. I used to smoke. You crack a window in a car. It's no big deal. They just want control, and more importantly, they want that $100. That's what they want, and they got that $100. They're going to get that money. They're going to continue to get that money because they're all about money. They don't give a damn about individual rights. They don't care about individual liberty. They don't care about the individuals. They are expendable. We are nothing but expendable wallets walking around for their pleasure. So, yeah, $100 fine for smoking in a car. His own kid smoked in the car. Cop saw it, pulled him over. Gave him a ticket for $100. This is the United States of America, land of the free, home of the brave. Is there a way to make that saying past tense? Because it sure as hell seems like it's past tense. Finally, today, there's a story out of Falls Church, Virginia. Who'd have thought that Virginia would win today's crazy pool? If you had Virginia in the crazy pool today, you're cleaning up. Parents are upset about a new sex ed policy in the Fairfax County schools. They want to make it more LGBTQ and transgender student friendly. Now, we're not talking about high school kids. We're talking about elementary school kids. They want to talk about birth control rather than abstinence. Now, I'm going to get off my lawny old man here for a second, ladies and gentlemen. But I remember growing up in school, and I wasn't in school all that long ago, when sex education was about the mechanics of it. And more about biology. This is how pregnancy happens. Didn't tell you this is how you do it. These are some pretty good positions. And when, you know, they didn't get graphic at all. Now they get graphic. Now it's about the pleasure. Sex education used to be about avoiding, you know, how pregnancy happens. Well, frankly, the LGBTQ community, XYZ, whatever, and the transgender, they probably don't have to worry about that. First of all, the transgender student is so minor a part of the population that it doesn't even register on the radar. For LGBTQ plus A, whatever, reproduction isn't really a problem in those relationships. I'm just saying. So sex education went from the biological, mechanical, this is how it works, to this is what feels really good, and make sure you do this, and then cup to this, and then do the that, which parents should have a big problem with, because this just subtly happened over time. Suddenly it became about, you've got to make sure you can do oral and anal, and you, here's how you put a condom on. Like, that's not sex education. That's porn direction. That's what Stormy Daniels hears when she goes to work. Here's how you make sure you do this, and we got to get the light up in there and spread this apart. It's not sex education. It's something else entirely. It's agenda indoctrination. So now they're going to have to tell you how everybody has to feel their best and have the best sex possible with gays, bisexuals, transgenders, all this stuff, when that shouldn't be the job of high school. Again, I didn't mean to sound all get off my lawny, but this is getting a little bit insane, if you ask me. You're going to teach elementary school kids about gay sex and transgender sex when you shouldn't be teaching them about any of this crap, especially when they can't read or write. Anyway, that's all the time we have today. Thank you for listening to the Daily Daily Caller podcast. Please tell a friend, spread the word, write a review, post it to your Facebook page, and all that good stuff. And we'll be back here tomorrow.